Hi, welcome to This Is Your Book Club podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
So good to be back on our favorite week of the month.
Woohoo!
At least my favorite.
Is it your favorite?
I love talking about the books we're reading.
That's true. Because this one we get to talk about a lot of books.
Yes.
Yes.
I love it so much.
So where book club is fun that we actually get to talk all the ins and outs of the books. But this one we just get to nerd out on what we've been reading.
Which we've kind of already been doing before we push record. I'm sorry.
But now we'll do it for you guys.
Sooner. Yeah, we'll do it again.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but before we start doing that.
Yes.
Don't go any farther. We need our fun fact.
Fun fact. So our book for this book club month is Dark Matter by Blake Crouch.
I'm like a little nervous about this book.
I felt great about all of our picks. This one is so different for me that I'm nervous.
So different.
Feel like we went out on a limb.
Way out.
So please let us know when you've read it, what you thought. If you're like, yeah, no, go back to what you're comfortable with, or go out on a limb more.
Regular
let us
readings.
Know.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah. So Dark Matter by Blake Crouch. And so I was just looking over his website and looking at the different books he's written. It says here that he is a best-selling novelist and screenwriter.
Wow.
He is the author of the novel Dark Matter, which is what we're going to read, for which he is writing the screenplay for Sony Pictures.
Really?
So he is adapting it to the screenplay, which I do have to say, I read Recursion of his that came out last year, and it reads like a movie. Like, I could see it in my head like a movie. So I can see him as a novelist and a screenwriter, because his books are just written to be made into a movie, I feel like.
Wow.
So his international best-selling Wayward Pines trilogy was adapted into a television series for Fox. And it was the number one show that summer, which was 2015. With Chad Hodge, Crouch also created Good Behavior, the TNT television show starring Michelle Dockery, based on his Letty Dobish novellas.
Okay.
Or Dobish? I haven't heard of that. He has written more than a dozen novels that have been translated into over 30 languages, and his short fiction has appeared in numerous publications, including Ellery Queen and Alfred Hitchcock Mystery Magazine. Crouch lives in Colorado.
Wow.
So he has a lot going on. He's had some great success with his novels and making them into shows and movies. Good for him.
Awesome.
And
I want to like it. Maybe this is like a door into a new genre that I'm familiar with. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's a door I want to keep closed.
And that's the great thing about doors. Open. Or close. They go both ways.
I have to read one to find out.
So let's do it.
Okay.
This month.
I posted about this being our big book pick of the month of March on Instagram and Facebook. And we had a comment from a listener who was like, you're going to have to listen to this one for me. Read this one for me and let me know how it goes.
Oh,
I don't know if
had
I'm willing
one
to
tap
jump.
Out already.
Yeah. I was like, no.
Come on. Come along with us. Just try it. Go out on a limb. We're going out on a limb.
I know. And then you might have lots of opinions that you can share with us, which we always
love
to
it will make for a really interesting conversation when we get there. So.
Yeah. Anyway. Super fun.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Me too.
I hope it's good.
And then next week, we will have Q&A.
A Q&A. We haven't had a Q&A for a while.
I know. I always love a good Q&A.
I always laugh really hard when we do a Q&A. So
if you have questions that you'd like us to answer, if you've been so curious about anything, send them our way.
Yep.
We will answer them for you on our podcast.
Put it on your calendar. Send us a message.
Please do.
Hold tight. It's coming next week. But now, let's nerd out on our books.
Okay, you go first. Well, let's go first.
We, not knowing, read the same book this last week.
This has never happened.
And I think because it just barely came out.
Couldn't wait.
We were on the wait list for it, both of us. And when I originally put my name on the wait list for it, it said over 6 months.
Me too. Because and then it wasn't as the even
release,
released
It yet. Wasn't released yet. And released as the release yet. Date came, I got it really quick. And I was so excited, so I immediately started it. So we both read Kristen Hannah's new book, The Four Winds.
Oh, I love Kristen Hannah.
I love her books.
Can I just like... just talk about Kristen Hannah for a minute.
Let's go down it.
I mean, we can get to The Four Winds, which is also a great one to talk about. But I've recently been talking about Kristen Hannah on our Instagram and Facebook page because a new Netflix series has come out called Firefly Lane.
Which is one of hers I actually haven't read yet.
Which
and there is not an audio version of it from our library.
Why?
Why do they only have the book?
Why? It makes zero sense. This is Kristen Hannah. You have every available audiobook.
You have to have hers, and they do not.
That's ridiculous.
So it will be an Audible credit for sure. I need to get on that so I can watch the show. Because we had so many responses to that post.
I know!
People are loving the show. People love the book.
I know.
Unbelievable.
It is a little different. Like, I've now finished the series. I know when I posted that, I was, like, just getting started and being really excited about it. And there are a few things that are different. But, again, it's a series, right? So, there.
Yeah, you have to change things to make up for
TV. Her book, it's, like, a 500-page book. It's a big one.
Her books are...
they're thick.
Big.
Yeah, they're
she
thick.
She dedicates herself to a in-depth story.
And you do. Like, I love her so much. Anyway, it is one. I read this book. I think I read Firefly Lane like 10 years ago. It's been a really long time. And still to this day, one of my favorite books. I just love it so much. And Kristen Hannah, like The Great Alone last year.
Yes.
Was so good.
Yeah.
Well, that was 2 years ago.
I think it was a couple years ago. And then The Nightingale before that.
Which
I
was so different for her to write The Nightingale.
That really spiked her popularity. I think that's where I found out about her was I read The Nightingale for book club.
Mm-hmm.
And then was like, oh, I loved this. And looked at what else she had. And then The Great Alone came out.
Mm.
And so I read that one, and I loved that too. And then I also read Winter
Song,
Winter Something.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
I know which one. Winter Garden.
Winter Garden. Yes.
Oh, and The Night Road.
I have not read The Night Road.
I highly recommend The Night Road.
The
Night Road and Firefly Lane.
I just put those two on my list this last week. So
really, really good.
I'm on the waiting list for The Night Road.
Do you want to know how many Kristen Hannahs I've read?
Yes.
Let me just look.
Drop
really
a fun fact on us.
Let me. 13.
You've read 13 of her books. You are like an original fangirl.
I am. I love her so much.
I can't even compare. I think I have like three.
It's two, like three. Women's now four. Lit, like right up my alley. Give me a good book about a woman and I'm there.
Yeah, I'm a new, I didn't even know there were 13 books. I'm new. Nightingale, Great Alone, Winter Garden, and now The Four Winds. So her
Do you want to hear the best thing that happened to me this week?
Yeah, of course.
Not this week. It was a couple weeks ago. Went on vacation and I thought, I want a book like that I hold in my hands for the airplane.
Mm-hmm. My fave.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm like, I can read. I can sit there for those hours and read. So I went to my shelf because I've got books stacked there just to see if I had one I hadn't read yet. Because it's what we do.
There.
We just shove them there. And I found... a Kristen Hannah.
Really?
Yes.
That you hadn't read?
That I had not read.
Okay.
And it was sitting on my shelf waiting to be read. So I'm currently reading, which always takes me longer. So I'll get to it in a future podcast. Yeah, I know.
They always do.
But I am currently reading a Kristen Hannah. Yeah. An old one. It's an old one.
Okay.
Oh, it's just, thank you.
So to Kristen
I'm just like
Hannah
reveling in Kristen Hannah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now let's talk about The Four Winds.
So did you like it?
I did like it.
It
was
down.
Very sad.
It is, I think, like such a deep look into this era, which we've learned about the Great Depression and about the Dust Bowl.
Yes.
Throughout school. We got like the Cliff's Notes version of it.
Yes.
It's like just the basics. I did not know this went into like a day in the life of living through the Dust Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It was truly depressing.
So sad. Like, these people just who had been farmers, not super wealthy people, but super hard workers.
Yes.
And enough to get by. And they had some storage to live on and some savings to live on. Like they were, by all means, not wealthy, but they were good.
Absolutely.
And then this hits and they quit driving their car because they can no longer afford gasoline. So they'd had a truck. They resort to going back to their horse and buggy.
Yeah.
So they have the technology of cars.
They can't even use it.
They can't even use it because they can't afford gasoline.
I know.
So they're just horse and bugging it where they need to go. And they're just trying everything to hold on to every last crop, every last storage item.
And then to like lose your land, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, not everybody did, but a lot of people had to leave their land because it wasn't.
They couldn't pay the mortgages. They couldn't
survive there anymore.
Yeah. And there was nothing.
And
that
was
their livelihood.
They're being told to come to California because it's the land of milk and honey.
It's the land of milk and honey. Like they painted it to be so beautiful. This is another thing I did not know about the Dust Bowl was that I believe it was the Red Cross handed out gas masks to the children to protect them from breathing in the dust because they even slept at night with these gas masks on, and that there was so much dust in the air that they were getting dust pneumonia.
Yeah.
I had no idea that it was causing such health problems, and their eyes were just scratchy and red all the time from dust in their eyes and breathing in the dust, and that they're animals too. Like they talk about slaughtering one of the cows and it was just, the stomach was just full of dirt.
Ew.
Like the poor things. Everybody was just
And when they were
suffering.
Milking the cow, the milk
The
would
milk
be dirty.
Was like dirty because, oh, it's unreal.
It's so awful.
I had not an ounce of an idea of the
Neither
devastation of this era.
Neither did I.
You hear it? And it was what, 4-ish years?
Yeah.
This was not like one season.
No.
This went on for
a
really
long
time.
And then what happened to like the cotton pickers, right? Mm-hmm. Because they moved to look for work and they were told they want to work.
Right.
They want work.
They want
but they
to
get
take
paid
care of their family.
Nothing.
For
to
so
work
little.
These fields.
So this.
And they're treated like rats.
Oh, like immigrants. They're referred to as immigrants. They are from our own country. They are not immigrants.
Okies.
And they're so so treated poorly.
It was her, like, that was one thing. She does such an incredible job at making it feel real.
Absolutely. I know these characters.
Yes.
And I was so mad at how they were treated.
Like, I can't stomach it. And I keep thinking, like, how... It's another thing. This is why I love books. It's why I love to read, but it makes me self-reflect. And I always look at myself and I think, how am I treating people that aren't from here?
Have I treated someone like this?
Yes.
Have I?
Am I helping?
Thrown like, judgment.
Let's not even say, okay, maybe I'm not being mean or rude or judgmental, but am I going out of my way to help?
Yeah.
Because they need help.
They need so much help. And I feel like right now, because we've both read it, my brain wants to go down book club. Like, let's talk the ins and outs of this.
I know.
We should have picked this one for a book club
book.
This
would be a
great. But I couldn't wait to read it. It would be so good. But just the general premise, it's a family in this era of the Dust Bowl that's farmers, and how they became a family too.
Yes.
Like, and just how they came to love each other and
what makes a family.
What makes a family isn't necessarily blood.
And what you do for family.
And then what you'll do for family. It was a beautiful story of family.
I was really,
strong
really sad
family
about
ties.
The ending.
Yes. I mean, there were so many things that were sad.
Oh, I know.
In this book. But yet, beautiful what family comes together and the
worth
things you
reading.
Do for each other. Please read this book.
Oh, read it.
Oh my gosh, so
I
fantastic.
I really, really liked it.
I could talk forever about all the little things I got from it, but it's just, beautiful. I gave it 5 stars.
I gave it 4 stars only because it's so sad. Oh. And that's like the only reason.
This was my first 5-star rating of the year.
It's really good, you guys.
It's so good.
There's so much history there, and it's told in a way that is interesting.
Beautiful historic fiction.
Yes.
Where you're learning so much about this time period.
And I think everyone should know, because we all can learn.
And I also think it's good, like, to look at this and be like, yeah, this last year's been rough.
Yeah.
But oh my gosh, it is not the Dust Bowl. So we're doing good. We're okay. We're going to be okay.
Yes. Yeah. We've got it good.
Yeah. So
puts things into perspective. 5 stars
for me. Such a good one.
Go read. I am a fan of Kristen Hannah.
Yes. And if you don't have your name on the wait list for it, do it now, because it's
going to be a long one. And let's just say, so far already, and this just came out 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
3 weeks ago. And it already has over 32,000 ratings.
And look at that rating.
And it's 4.48.
Yes.
Holy crap.
So that's right in between your 4 and my 5. Yeah, so we're spot on.
Yeah.
You can trust us.
We know what we're talking about.
We bring it. We bring the balance.
Oh, Kristen. I'm so glad we had a little highlight of
you. Can you even imagine the research that goes into a book like that?
She said she spent a few years
researching. Because
at the end she talks, right?
Which is, her author's.
I loved that.
Note, or her author's interview at the end was really fun.
It's so cool. I love that stuff. Anyway, she talks about how much time she took to write that book.
Yeah.
So cool. Anyway, very good.
Excellent one.
What else have you been reading, Jamie?
Should I go next?
Yeah.
Okay. So this one is a total surpriser on my part.
Oh.
I don't even know. I have not seen it on lists. I don't know where I got. It was on my TBR list, but I don't know where I got it from. It just came up. It was available. And so I took it. It's called The Chaperone by Laura Moriarty. Not to be confused with Leanne Moriarty, but Laura Moriarty. And it came out in 2012. So it really is, I mean, I don't know how I came across this.
Huh.
It's a mystery. But
Is it about?
I knew very little about it when I started it, but it is. So it's so good. And to piggyback right after The Four Winds, it's about this woman. She's actually born in New York. And for some reason or another, and she doesn't know why, she is in an orphanage in New York. And so it starts out, this is another beautiful historical fiction. It starts out in New York in the early 1900s.
Okay.
I want to say. So I'd say, she was born maybe even before 1900, but she's in New York in the early 1900s. She is in this orphanage, and that is her life. That's all she knows. She knows these girls. They work. They don't go to school. Because they are just taught in this orphanage, and they get put on a train one day, and these trains take orphans around to the Midwest. So they're getting them out of their orphanages in New York are just packed. There's so many people there. And so they find they put these orphans on these trains, and they just kind of go on tour, and they stop in big cities all through the Midwest, and they dress these orphans up in really nice outfits and have people that do their hair in cute braids or whatever, make them look nice and clean and well taken care of. And they've taught them, yes, Jesus loves me, like Christian songs. Cause this is a Catholic orphanage. Of course, the nuns took care of them there, and they kind of parade them on this stage. And people come and pick a child.
Oh.
And some people are picking them to adopt as their children, or someone to help care for their house, or to work on their fields, or for one reason or another, they're going to take these children and
house them.
And some of them are good situations, and some of them are bad situations. So, this main character, is picked off, not picked from the first train station. So she just continues on until she's picked and ends up getting picked in Wichita, Kansas. And that's where her name's Cora. That's where a family picks her up, and they have picked her up as a daughter. They just want a child, and they treat her like their own. She is their own. She's given her own room and food aplenty, and she goes to school, and she's just very well taken care of.
Okay.
Anyway, so it kind of goes, it starts off there, and it quickly goes to later in her life. She is at 36 years old. She has twin boys. They are grown and off to college, and she finds herself all these different things, but she finds herself kind of an empty nester and looking to her for what to do next. And somebody in their neighborhood, in their group, has a daughter who has been accepted to this really well-known dance school of dance in New York, but they don't want to send their 15-year-old daughter by herself. They need a chaperone. So she volunteers to be this daughter's chaperone. And so they've paid her way, her train ticket there. So she takes this daughter who ends up being just a little handful and takes her on the train, and they get to New York. And while this girl is in her dance classes all day, she is researching this orphanage and trying to find any information about who her parents are, why she was at the orphanage, and what happened. And it just goes down this road of, it goes through her time here and her helping this 15-year-old girl navigate her way through teen life and her situation with her parents and living beyond her age in New York. And then her boys are back home and her husband back home, what's going on with him and what their life has been like together. And then what she finds out in New York, and she comes back to Kansas after a totally different person.
Wow.
Just a totally different look on life, from small, conservative Kansas to her eyes being opened to different ways of living and different lifestyles and different stories. And she comes back different, and she lives the rest of her life different. And really what this is just a little snapshot at, it briefly touches on the 1918 flu epidemic. Okay. It briefly touches on in Kansas during the Dust Bowl that they've had to tape their windows closed and that dust was all over everything in their homes. And they had to sweep and wipe the cabinets out and dust off the bowls before they eat. Very briefly, it's just going through this time period. So it kind of piggybacked on what I had just very in-depthly learned about the Dust Bowl.
Right.
That's just a little part of it. It's mainly her story and her progress through life and what she's learned through her different experiences. But through these little historical moments of time that I didn't know a lot about.
That's kind of fun.
It's super good.
What did you give
it? I gave it 5 stars.
Wow!
2 in a row from me. And this one, which I'd not heard anything about.
Yeah.
Totally 2012, skipped over and haven't heard anything about it.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful snapshot of history of this time period, like the 20s. Like she was, born earlier than that. But then it goes through up into the 50s, into her late life. And it is just very well written. And just a beautiful little snapshot at some of the issues of modesty, talking about birth control, where selling birth control, how taboo the subject was of any of that conversation, or when girls would start rolling their stockings down and hitching up their skirts a little and showing ankle, just the judgment that was being portrayed on women for being a little risque for the time.
Okay.
It's awesome. It's amazing.
I love it.
It is a very, very good book.
That's
I recommend it for everyone.
All right.
It was a surprise 5-star, and I couldn't be more thrilled with it. Isn't that fun?
Yes.
Like, it makes me so excited because I'm always like, ooh, I haven't heard anything about this one. Should I read it?
Yes.
No. But yes, you should, because it could surprise you. It has 58,000 ratings. Only 3.8 stars overall.
And you loved it.
I loved it.
Awesome.
So tell me what you think.
I know. Like, now I want to read it. Everyone,
read it and tell me. Yeah. I mean, it talks about corsets, her wearing a corset and she couldn't bend over to pick things up and that she couldn't eat too much at a set, even though she was starving at a meal because there was barely room to even breathe with the corset on. How could she get any food in? And then she'd get nauseous if she did. Like, life in a corset?
Oh, my goodness.
Horrendous.
That sounds awful.
Anyway, so great.
So interesting.
Such an interesting story and time period.
I love it.
There you go.
Okay.
Okay, you.
You ready?
I'm ready for yours.
Okay. I read What Alice Forgot by Leanne Moriarty.
Oh, this episode really can't get any better.
I'm telling you what. Can we just say, maybe we should just stop here.
Wow.
So, What Alice Forgot, let's give a little background. Okay. Jamie's been recommending this book to me for a long time.
My all-time favorite, Leanne Moriarty.
Okay. I don't know how, I do know how I didn't read it. Because our library did not carry this audiobook.
I'm so a disappointing that they didn't, because honestly.
I know.
I just
so loved I'm it. Like okay, I'll buy it. I'm gonna buy it. But when I have so many that I can just listen to for free, like I wait for a time that I don't have one available on my holds, right?
Yes.
So guess what happened? Our library picked it up.
Did they?
I just had so always many check on things. Anyway, I always check up on books. I want them to get them, and this one I got lucky. Yes. So I was able to listen at our library, and. It's a. Let me tell you what it's about.
Yes.
Before I get ahead of myself.
So much.
Okay, so Alice is the main character in this story, and you start off with her, kind of. Sounds like she's daydreaming or something in her tub, and she's pregnant. She's talking to her belly, and, you know, talking to her baby and thinking about her baby and whatever, and. She can hear someone yelling at her and she's like, what, yeah. What? And eventually she comes to find out she had fallen and hit her head. She was in a spin class and she had fallen and hit her head and lost her memory.
Just, yeah.
So she's 39 years old in real life when she falls and hits her head.
Yes.
But she wakes up from that fall thinking she's 29 years old and pregnant with her first child.
She's gone. She's lost 10 years.
10 years of her life. She doesn't remember any of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, people are talking to her and telling her things like she has these three children that she has no recollection of. She is so in love with her husband, whom she in real life is in the middle of a divorce. And she is close with her family 10 years ago, and now she's a little bit estranged from her sister. And anyway, very interesting concept.
So different than what 10 years can bring. What can happen in 10 years?
What can happen? Like a lot. A lot can happen. And so you watch her go back into her life without any memories. And try to live, like try to pick up where she's left off, but not really understanding how relationships are now.
Right.
And not understanding why her life is the way it is now. And trying to come to grips with all of that and understand it.
Yeah. Like, can you imagine you're pregnant with your first child and then all of a sudden that child is 10 years old?
Yeah.
And you're a parent of
and
a
is a whole person.
Now.
Yeah. Right? And like has her own set of things.
Her own things going on that you're trying to navigate, not knowing how could we possibly be here?
Yeah. It is so interesting. I loved it so much. Like, I love this book. I'm not going to give anything away because you have to go on this journey with Alice on your own. But it is so good. I adored it. I cried. This
so
is a book
creative.
That made me cry. I loved it so much. I love Alice.
I love Alice too. I don't know that I cried because I'm not a cry. I doubt I did. I don't cry at anything.
I totally did.
There's something wrong with my tear ducts.
You can get me
with a
giggle.
But I feel I have all the feels without the actual tears. And I loved this book.
So I gave it 5 stars.
Me too.
I gave it
when
5 stars.
I read it. 5 stars for me as well.
It's so good. I love Leanne Moriarty.
I do too.
I mean, let's talk about some good storytellers. I feel like I'm hitting the jackpot this year.
Yeah. She is one of my favorites. This is my favorite of hers. She has knocked so many out of the ballpark. So many good books.
So good.
You could pick any of them up.
I know.
And you'd be happy.
Absolutely.
Right?
You will be fully entertained.
Yes.
Anyway, this is definitely a winner. I'm so glad you read it. I am too.
I'm glad you got it.
I am feeling the feels, like just talking about it.
Still there.
All right. So that's good. Well, Alice Forgot, 5 stars. Go read it.
I don't even want to go on to my next one because I started with my 5 stars.
That's okay. It
feels a little disappointing to go down from there, but
we still want to hear about it, Jamie.
I read Leave the World Behind.
Okay. We need to talk about this because I am seeing this book everywhere.
Yes.
Like it and got so much press before it even came out.
Yes.
It was on like 2-read lists everywhere.
It came out in October. So it's.
But then.
Yeah. But
the
then
ratings the just most started mixed to get lower reviews. And lower and lower. Yes.
Not great reviews, but everywhere.
Everywhere.
So it only got 3.32 stars on Goodreads.
Yes.
But it is on every list.
I know. Why? Honestly, what is it about? Because I've been very hesitant. Okay.
So I gave it 3 stars. So okay. I'm right with the 3-star rating on it. I love the characters and I love the story. And the premise is great. So it starts out with a family that's going on vacation. And they've rented this like Airbnb or VRBO rental, vacation rental.
Okay.
For their vacation, and they're heading closer to a beach. And it's this beautiful modern home. Like when you want to go stay someplace and have it be nice, you know, this is what different than what you live in, just super modern. It's got a pool in the backyard. Just a great week to relax with the kids. So it's a mom and a dad, and they've got a son and a daughter that are on this vacation with them, and they get there and they're just like, this place is great. You know, it's a typical family. The kids are complaining, whining, asking for this, that. Mom, you know, their life is a typical busy family life and they're just looking forward to some relaxation. They've been on the road for a long time getting there and are we there yet? Blah, blah, blah. So they get there. They're there for, I think, a day and then, or maybe two, and then really late at night, one night, there's a knock on their door and they think that's really strange that someone's knocking. They don't even know. I mean, it's not a very populated place. So the neighbors are kind of spread out a bit. So, and there's lots of woods around. So they answer the door reluctantly and it ends up being the owners of the home.
Okay.
Which I thought was kind of weird. Like, what are you doing here? You're checking in and they're like, we're so-and-so that we own the home. You actually rented it. But it was all rented through email and services. So they'd never actually met. I mean, they wouldn't have recognized each other or knew the name because it was all through a business. But, and they are asking if they can stay in the home because there has been a blackout in the city where they live. I believe it's New York City. There's been a big blackout and they had to leave the city and they had nowhere else to go. And they actually own the home and they, can we give you a discount on staying here? We'll stay in the guest bedroom downstairs. We'll stay out of your way. Can we stay here?
So is this like a...
So that is the premise.
Is this like a mystery?
It, God.
Like what no. genre would you put this in?
Maybe a little bit apocalyptic.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. That's why I'm not giving it a good rating. Because I'm not even really sure what's happened. I know what's happened in this house with that family.
Okay.
But obviously something, it's giving you these little snippets of what's happening elsewhere and what the blackout is caused from. But I don't know if I just missed a really big thing. Or if it's just very vague on what's happening on the outside world. But all communication shuts down. They have no access to any information. Cell phones aren't working.
Okay.
TV isn't working. So really the premise of the story is how dependent we are on technology and social media for our information. And when that's not there, what do we do? And I'll leave it at that. I don't know what happened, but maybe I just wasn't paying attention is what I kept thinking, like, oh, I should listen to that again. And then I'd listen to it again and I'd be like, I don't really know what happened.
Well, there, I don't think you're alone because there are mixed reviews.
I want someone else to read it and talk to me about this. And to, I want to talk the ins and outs of this one to find out.
I have another friend.
Yeah.
You know, on my Goodreads, a friend who's read it, and she gave it 5 stars.
See, it goes like you either 5-starred it. Because
there's not a ton of 5 stars.
The first 2 ratings on mine, 5-star and a 1-star.
Yes.
The 1-star, a potentially interesting scenario here. That was their start. Potentially interesting.
Yes.
I just don't know that I understood a lot of what was going on. It was some bizarre things happen. And these two people that didn't know each other are thrown together in kind of an unsure situation. They just don't know what to do or what's going on. And they're kind of trapped with little information, and yet they don't know these people. And
interesting.
It's weird. It's weird.
Okay.
That's all I have to say. I can't add any more to it.
Okay.
I don't even know.
I want to hear our listeners' thoughts on this book.
I don't know if I'm making this sound good or not good.
I'm interested. I almost want to read it to understand.
5-star.
And to give my own, all over the board. Like, everyone's all over the board. I want to, put my own 2 cents
And I do think there were some interesting dynamics on the family vacationing as a white family. And the owners of the home, the husband and wife, and they're older. They've got kids that are grown up that have kids. So they're grandma and grandpas. They're a black couple. And so there is a bit of race and conversation and feelings about race in it. So there's that. And then just our dependency on media for information.
Sure. Like,
and then what do you do when you don't have that? How do you entertain yourself when all of it's gone? Like, how do you keep these kids entertained when they're used to being entertained constantly?
Can we read a book?
Right. So, and that's what I would do too. And I think my kids would as well, but not all kids would.
My
and
kids
that's kind of the
that.
Picture of these kids is one of them really loves books and one of them is more like video gaming and all of that. And just it affects all of them differently, but I still just don't know what happened outside of their home.
Okay.
So there you go.
I'm
very, very interesting.
I'm curious now. Very curious. Okay.
Okay.
Ready?
Do with it what you will. Ready for yours.
Okay. My next one is The Inheritance Games by Jennifer Lynn Barnes. Have you heard of this?
I have not heard of this at all.
So it just came out last year. So it's new. And I believe it's going to be in a series. But the second one isn't out yet. This year, it says. This year. So it's The Inheritance Games. Let me tell you about this book. This was a fun. I didn't know what it was. I thought, because if you look at the cover, it's a very fun cover. And there's lots of things going on there.
Huh.
I thought I was getting a dystopian YA, young adult. I thought that's what I was getting here. It is not what it is. It's about this girl. You find out this girl, she's lives with her sister. Her mother has passed away. It's her half-sister because they share the same dad. And their dad doesn't really take care of them at all. And she's in high school. She's very smart, but they don't have a lot. And her sister's doing everything she can to try and take care of her. But you can tell they struggle. And you know, she's got a boyfriend that's in and out of the breakup, get back together, and he's abusive. And so when he's around, you know, this girl won't stay there. She'll sleep in her car. Like, it's that bad. That
awkward and uncomfortable.
Well, just because she doesn't like how he treats her sister.
Okay.
So, But she's working really hard to get a good education, get good grades so she can get into a school and maybe even a trade school. She has a path planned out for herself so that she can be steady. Yeah, she can get a steady job and have a different life. But she's, you know, you also see like her kind heart. She helps a homeless man. Like she's a good person, but she's just got a rough start. Right. You know, not a lot of help to start her life. And one day in the middle of school, she gets called to the office and there's a man there and he tells her that she has been named in a will, in the will of a man, I think they're in Texas, and she has to be there for the reading of the will. They can't read it without everyone named in it present.
Okay. Okay.
So she has to come to this will reading. She has no idea who this man is. She has never heard of him before. And so she's very confused. She takes her sister with her and they go. They drop everything and go because that's make it sound like we've been waiting on you. We couldn't find you. We finally found you and now you have to come.
Okay.
So they go to this will reading and it's in the man's house, which is like three hotels. The way they describe it, it's just huge. It's huge. And every year he built either a new wing or a new room. Like he just continually added on.
This is sounding like the Westing Game.
Ooh, I've never read that.
Okay. Okay, continue on.
So it's this huge house and the family is there. So the only people that are there for the reading, the only people named were the family and her.
And her.
And then the caretakers. So people who were like
associated
with the home. The home. A very small group,
Does the family know why she's?
No. And they are not happy about it.
Okay. Okay. This is sounding very good.
Okay. So he leaves a little bit to his family.
Okay.
Very little.
Very little.
For how much he has.
Yeah.
And then everything else. I mean, a little bit. And some to the caretakers and whatever, those people that are associated. And everything else to this girl who is a stranger.
Oh, my gosh.
There are stipulations.
Okay.
She has to live in the house for a year. So it's not hers.
With until this family?
The family is allowed to stay. This is their home.
Okay.
It's a big house.
Weird. They could live there for a year and never see each other. It sounds like
it's very big. I mean, they do. But yes.
But yes. You could. Okay.
So live there for a year. And I think that's like really the only stability. She can't leave the country. She has to live. And, you know, she can't leave this. She can't go. She has to stay there.
Okay.
And she has to accept it. Like she has to choose it. You know?
Yeah.
So anyway, what happens now is the family is not happy. He has three or four grandsons that didn't get their inheritance, right? And so they're all trying to figure out, they were all left a letter and in each individual was left a letter and they kind of are clues. And it's really interesting. So their grandpa loved like riddles and games.
This is so the Westing Game.
So now I want to look up the Westing Game because I really like the book. So they basically, for the rest of the book, because that all happens pretty quick, the rest of the book, they are following these clues in these letters.
Trying to figure out why this girl and what are you trying to tell us now that you're gone.
Right. And is there, like, is this just a trick and a game to, like, so that we have to, like, fight for our inheritance? So some of them feel like they maybe are just being sent on a game so that they can earn their inheritance.
Yes.
Some of them think it might that they don't really want the money and they just want to understand why she was chosen and whatever.
Yeah.
So they all have different motives and different things. And they all – and she just doesn't have a clue at all, but she's super smart. And so she's wants to know why she was picked too.
Yeah.
So it's all very interesting. And you learn about this family and they all try and figure out what – why her. Anyway, it was really good. I gave it 4 stars. It was fun.
Do you know there's a number 2?
Yes, but it's not out yet.
Oh, it's not out yet. I just see it listed here.
So it comes out this year, because I said it's the first in a series.
Oh, yeah, not till September.
Because this one just came out last September.
Okay. Have fun. I like this kind of
It was super book. Fun. Yeah. And it was really interesting. Like, it's very clever. Like, there's things in there that you, like, could, if you can figure it out, right? I didn't. I'm not that clever. Yeah. But I liked listening to them figure it out. Yeah, it was fun.
Awesome. 4 stars. Fantastic.
I liked it.
Okay. My next is, so this one was actually recommended by Molly Fennick, the author we interviewed 2-3 episodes ago. She recommended, her favorite book was Speak.
Oh, yeah.
By Laurie Hulse Anderson. And so there was not a wait list on it because it's actually an older book. So the 20th edition came out, the 20th anniversary edition came out in 2019. So this came out, her original book came out in 1999.
Yes.
So, and what I love about the anniversary edition is the addition to the end of what they added about mental health, which is fantastic.
So this book is a book about mental health.
Yes. Yeah, so, and Molly said this, that she's an author who wrote about mental health before it was a popular subject to write about. So if you think about 1999 and that this book came out then, Speak is a story about a girl who, she speaks sometimes, but not always, but she has experienced a sexual assault at a young age and doesn't tell anybody about it. Young age, meaning she's like junior high.
Okay.
And something happens at a party to her, and everything after that, she loses all her friends because she doesn't say anything. I mean, the whole story, I don't want to give anything away, but she's at a party. A traumatic event happens to her, and she is accused of calling the cops on this party, but nobody knows what happened to her. She called because of what happened, but nobody knows that. And so they just think she ratted on everyone because there was alcohol there and people were drinking and people were drunk and doing drugs and, you know, a teenage party that it a bit out of control. But so all of her friends drop her for doing this. And so she starts school with no friends. People are mean to her. She's being bullied. And she's dealing with this PTSD before it's even talked about. And she's not talking about it. So she's this young girl and just miserable, miserable. And I love the premise of this is one of the beginning books of mental health. I think we've come a long way since it. Not that it's not written well, but I think we have a lot in this genre now that is perpetually moving this conversation forward.
Yes.
So when you look at it compared to 20 more years of discussion, this is not naive, but it's breaching the subject. It's very light.
Okay.
That's it. It's light in the conversation. Not that it's not an important conversation and not that it doesn't touch on it, but I feel like it's bit not light.
It's not too heavy.
It's not too heavy or too graphic or too, I mean, it's a tough subject. And I think anytime you talk about sexual assault and PTSD and mental health, it's important. And so I don't want to discredit it that way. But I think it is light compared to maybe what you would get now when you talk about consent and rape. And I think I love that it's being talked about. I love the book. The story was great. But the author interview at the end talking about the importance of talking about what consent means, the importance of discussing, you know, that you ask for consent, yes or no, and you continually ask for consent for everything, for touching, for kissing, for, you know, that we can never just assume.
Right.
And that this is a conversation for men and women, boys and girls, and that it is an important conversation to have. It's important beforehand. It's important to talk about victims and victims' rights and recovery after and the mental health they need. The author interview at the end is fantastic, like five-star author interview in just wording perfectly the discussion that needs to be had and the information she's gotten from readers on this subject. And she addresses some of those questions and some of those things, like, and it's fantastic. That is fantastic. I gave the book 4 stars.
Okay.
I give the author's note at the end 5 stars.
Awesome.
Everyone should listen to that. If you don't listen to the whole book, just get the audio version, check it out from your library, and listen to the author at the end of the book. Fantastic.
Very cool. I'm looking at this going, wow, I have a lot of friends who have read this book.
Really? And I hadn't heard of it before. So, until we interviewed her. Oh, yeah, I've got a couple friends who, too. I mean, it's getting 5 stars, 4 stars. It's very highly rated, highly recommended. Yeah. 495,000 ratings.
Wow.
With 4.02 stars. It's and amazing. I give it 4 stars. So I'm right very there with cool. it. And I'm thrilled that I read it now so that I could get that 20th anniversary edition with the addition to the end.
Absolutely.
It was well worth not knowing. I mean,
that you were able to wait. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't know. Anyway, that was fantastic.
Very good. Cool. Thank you, Molly.
Yes. Thank you for the recommendation. I will pass it along to the rest of you.
Absolutely. Very good. Okay. My last book.
Okay.
Is The Bookwoman of Troublesome Creek.
Okay. This has been on my list for a long time.
Mine too.
Because of The Giver of Stars.
Yes. I read that first.
Jojo Moyes wrote... Right?
Yes.
The Giver of Stars. And when I read that, then I heard that there's this
other book that's
based off of the same historical story that she uses in that book. Correct? Am I correct there?
Or similar? Okay. The only similarity is that the women in The Giver of Stars and the woman in The Bookwoman of Troublesome Creek, deliver library books to, like, outlander people.
People who can't, who live way far out away. On farms and hills. And so, and is she delivering them by horseback? Like, in Giver of Stars? Okay.
That is the same.
I love this idea.
They are both,
I would have so loved, like, this job.
Librarians.
Okay. Horseback librarians.
Yes. But that is the only
way similarity.
These books are the same.
Okay. And this is a true,
same era.
This is a true story, though.
Is it?
Is it?
Well, I don't know.
Or just based off of...
It's, okay, I don't know if it's true, but there are things in it that are actual for the time. So it has some historical
fiction.
Yes.
Historical
fiction. Okay. There are women who delivered books like this on horseback to people. That's true. She had a rare... genetic disorder that caused her skin to be blue.
Okay.
That's real.
I did hear about that.
In this
And that's a real condition and, in this time.
Okay. Yeah, in this time and in this area, right, there was like a group of people that really did have blue skin. Like that was real. She was considered a person of color. So she was treated like black people.
Because she had blue skin. Because she wasn't white.
She was not white. Well, she was white.
She was white.
But her skin
with a genetic condition.
Was blue. And they explain it.
Was she born with her skin blue or it turned blue over time?
Born blue.
Born a blue. Wow.
Because their bodies don't absorb, like, or there's not, the oxygen doesn't move the certain things around. Anyway, it's very interesting.
Okay.
And it is a real thing. I guess people in Alaska also have it because it was common there for whatever reason. And so that's where it was first discovered. And then word traveled and the doctor in the area was able to figure it out here. Okay. So she had a lot of things. It was that she was blue. And so she was treated very poorly. And that she worked, which wasn't always
Common acceptable, for the time.
Yes, for women at the time to work, except her mother had died and her father worked in the mine and they needed the extra help and she could do it and she liked books and she wanted to. So it's the story of her as she just navigates her world, right? Like trying to deliver these books and the people that she talks to as she's delivering and being treated so poorly as a person of color, and yet differently because she isn't black, so she doesn't really fit in anywhere. So there was that part of her story, and then her father just wants her to be taken care of. He promised her mother that she would, he would make sure she was married and would be able to have a family and whatever. And so he tries, that was very, you arranged marriages then.
Yeah.
And so he was trying to arrange, which he does at the beginning. He arranges, it does not go well. And what results of that,
because she's from blue that. And
so they're not nice to her. Anyway, it's rough. Anyway, so it's her finding like her own path, doing, trying to do what she wants to do and be happy and have her family be happy and deal with just the world of, at that time. So it's very interesting. So like you said, I've read The Giver of Stars. I read that one first. I loved The Giver of Stars. I think, I don't remember what I gave it. Now let's look it up. Okay, I gave The Giver of Stars 5 stars. I love, love, love The Giver of Stars.
Interesting. And now looking back, I gave it 3.
Okay, it's not a time and era that I love.
Okay.
So when I first started reading The Giver of Stars, I was like, oh, a Western. I just was like, I just don't love that era to read. I just don't like it. So I wasn't excited, but I loved the characters and I loved their stories. I loved the idea of the books and like all that they went through just and sacrificed for these books. I just loved it so much.
I loved the story, but I think the 3 stars was because it was, I love JoJo Moyes books and this was so completely different than what it's I was expecting. That I think I was slightly disappointed in what it was.
I was not disappointed.
Okay.
I think because the minute I heard it was a Western and I was like, well, I'm going to read it because it's JoJo Moyes.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to love it. And then you did. I loved it.
I did really like it. But yeah, I gave it 3 stars.
So that's my feeling. And I loved, and I don't know if anyone else has read that. I would highly recommend The Giver of Stars. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, after I loved The Giver of Stars, everyone was like, oh, you have to read the book Woman of Troublesome Creek. Yes, that's
exactly what I've heard as well.
So I've been like hearing this for a long time. I thought it was a sweet book and it was good, but not as good.
Not as good. Okay.
Like I found it a little bit boring and slow. So there were things about it that were great and interesting, but I found myself being distracted. I couldn't. Anyway, I didn't love it as much. I gave it 3 stars. Like, it's still a good book. But if you want to read a book about the traveling library, I would choose The Giver of Stars.
Really? So now I'm going to have to, this is on my to read list.
I would love to hear
what I want to read it because I gave The Giver of Stars 3. I wonder.
And I will say, like, I think I'm a minority. I think I'm a minority because everyone who recommended this book to me loves this book, The Bookwoman of Troublesome Creek. It is on, like, it has like 88,000 ratings and a 4.23 star rating.
Okay.
Like, it's got great reviews. I am not.
Yeah.
Most people are giving this.
And The Giver of Stars gets 4.28 and I gave it 3.
Yeah.
So I'm not with the majority there either. So maybe we're both just on opposite ends on this one.
Yeah. I'm so interested. I want you to read it.
Okay.
So I don't, like, of my friends, right, on here who have read it, have all given it, like, 4 and 5 stars.
Wow.
So I know I'm just an odd man on this one. And that's okay.
It's not always interesting. That's what I love about reading is we get on and we have a lot in common that we love. And then we have some very different opinions about things.
And that's the other thing is fun. That I think happens is because I've been hearing about this one for so long and everyone was telling me that I was going to love it. I mean, maybe my expectation
were just too high.
Was just like unrealistic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is what it is now. It just is.
Yeah. So my friends that have read it have rated it 4.
Yeah.
4 stars on 3 different people. So.
Yeah. Like I said, I think I'm, and again, it was good.
Yeah.
It was good. But when I'm comparing, because they are like the same time frame, the same like idea about these traveling libraries, which I adore that concept. Anyway, so in that from that point of view, I would say read The Giver of Stars. So okay. Now you need to read it. So okay. Tell me what you would say.
I'll push that up on my list.
Okay.
Gosh, things just keep getting pushed down, down, down. I know. And then I remember them because how long ago did I read The Giver of Stars? It's been over a year.
Yeah, me too.
And
almost 2 years,
The Bookwoman of Troublesome Creek has been on it since I finished that. And yes. I haven't gotten to it yet. So
I hear you.
I got to refresh that list a bit. Maybe start at the bottom instead of the top for a couple of weeks. So
I love it.
What a great episode.
Yeah.
Some good books.
Aren't you glad you listened?
We are.
I know. That was so fun to even talk about.
Yeah, good.
So thanks for sticking with us if you're still listening. And
yeah.
We'll be back next week with a Q&A.
Yep.
You can find us on Instagram and Facebook. You can message us.
You can email us at thisisyourbookclubpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Love it.
Thank you to Amphibious Zoo for our music.
And we'll see you next time. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
And this is your book club.